morning. Hey guys, it's me, Elle. Today is a struggle. I just want to let you know I'm tired, so. But I did say, hang on, let me move this mic. Sorry about that. I did say that I would be doing these episodes, so today is a brand new episode. First and foremost, if you're new to Pardon My Grief, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for giving it a chance. If you've been here before, then thank you for staying. I appreciate that. I just want to talk about just a few things. Like, I've had a lot of internal conflict about how I should do the podcast and how I should kind of like be during the podcast. And I think that there's really only one way to be, and that's me. Which is just unapologetically just myself, really, is all I can say. Because I thought, like, some days I'm not coming from a hurt place, some days I am coming from a hurt place. So I guess if I am coming from a hurt place, it probably should reflect in the message, just because, like, everyone isn't the same all the time. And sometimes I am. I try usually to be the same most of the time, which is, like, happier. Usually, and not letting things kind of get to me and roll to me, but some things that happened this past weekend that really just kind of made me just frustrated. So I just wanted to really talk about toxic relationships and toxic people. I think a lot of people use that term, and sometimes it could be out of context. Like, I don't think that anyone that just speaks negatively about you or offers a suggestion into your life that you maybe don't agree with is toxic. I think that there's a certain thing as constructive criticism. I think that there's healthy criticisms. I think that people are entitled to opinions, whether we like them or not. However, there's a very distinct line between someone just offering you constructive criticism and someone actually being toxic. And I think a toxic relationship really is something that makes you feel like misunderstood, attacked, unsupported, someone's like demeaning you, making you feel less than, that sort of stuff. And sometimes the relationship really can progress. I really feel like over time, toxic people just become worse if they go unchecked. So, you know, that also is a case, like, where criticism could come once every so often. Really, no one should be criticizing you all the time. I mean, if they are, then I think that that kind of borders on toxic, right? Because that's really what it is. Remember, too, that you can have toxic relationships anywhere. They can definitely be, like, who are these people, right? They could definitely be your coworkers. For sure. And I'm not talking about the coworkers that are just like, just the ones you don't really, you know, rock with, but I'm talking about the ones that are like completely miserable, drain you of your energy, drag everybody down, the ones that have nothing good to say, they hate all people. These are the ones that are toxic. You could also have it in your friends. I did an episode about friends before, but also too, just friends can be toxic. They can drain you. They can pull you down. People change. Like I've said before, like society knows. So you can have someone that you are feeling like is really your friend, and they could change up the game on you, and they could really kind of start to become this person that's like, you know, verbally abusive and not the person that you kind of signed up to be friends with. So that's definitely something. Family, for sure. Like, for sure. We can't choose our family, but you definitely got some family members that you know you're like, I have to stay clear of. And then also to relationships. Like, just because you have a significant other does not mean that they can't become toxic, or also to have had habits even before you guys got into a relationship that have been toxic. You know, some people make excuses for their significant other. And 9 times out of 10, if someone is a certain type of way, again, you can't fundamentally change. This is what you need to remember. You can't fundamentally change who a person is, okay? If they are nasty, grumpy, and grumbly, you're not going to turn them into a sunshine unicorn. Like, it's just not going to happen. So if you get into a relationship with someone with the premise that you're going to change who they are fundamentally as a person, you're setting yourself up for failure. I repeat, you're setting yourself up for failure. I will lastly repeat, because I stuttered, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you get into a relationship with someone and you're looking to change basically who they are as a whole, you're not going to be able to do it. What you can do, though, is do things like show people their worth, make people understand how valuable they are, kind of have people kind of change like into a positive outlook of life instead of always seeing the negative side of things. You can kind of bring sunshine into their lives. But if they're just an overly, you know, circumstances can influence who people are. So if someone is grumpy because of a circumstance, that's different. But if they're, we all know just miserable ass people. If they're just miserable, if they're just racist, if they're just misogynistic, that is pretty much who they're going to be. It's very hard to break those tendencies. Now, if it's a circumstance or if life has dealt them a bad hand, then that's one thing. But if it's just repeatedly, this person is terrible, good luck on that. Basically, anyone can be toxic. So what are signs, right, of a toxic relationship? Because people can always act like they know, but they don't know. Some signs, I would say, like, definitely you're giving more than what you're getting. But it's not just I'm a giver and I like to give. It's like when you do it, you kind of feel like drained and you don't feel valued in any capacity. I think so signs of a toxic relationship are like just constantly being disrespected. You feel like maybe like your self-esteem isn't where it used to be. This person brings out the worst in you. You're also feeling like you got to walk on eggshells because this person's like definitely a ticking time bomb. You're always taking the blame for things that are just wrong, okay? And you really could feel like you're not yourself when you're with this person. Some people too could feel like they're being manipulated. You're always having to kind of defend yourself, but you don't really feel consistent around, like, you don't really feel like comfortable around this person. So other signs of a toxic person could definitely be someone that's completely inconsistent. Like this person's up, down. They are completely erratic. You don't know what the hell they're going to do next. You just have no idea. Toxic people like your attention, so sometimes they can often act out in order to receive such attention, because, you know, if they're not, like, misery loves company, and if they're not getting the attention that they need, they're definitely going to try to make some sort of way that you pay attention to them. But then, you know, after they do this, you walk away feeling like you're to blame, or you're really walking away drained. There's always some sort of drama with them. There's always some sort of crisis or something that's just going on in their lives. It's just like, if there's just not one thing, it's another with them. And like not respecting boundaries. If you set up things or stuff, they just don't even remotely care. Like if you say, don't show up to my house unannounced, the toxic person is going to just show up, because sometimes they have like an inflated sense of self. So they feel like, well, you know, they really just don't respect that. I think when you have relationships that are like based on trust and boundaries, remember this person is toxic. So they definitely are not trustworthy and they also don't respect boundaries. And sometimes they can manipulate people, and also too, they can be abusive. Now, remember that abuse does not come just only in physical. You definitely have verbal abuse, and you definitely have, you know, emotionally abusing people. You have sexual abuse. So there's more than one way to abuse a person. And remember, this toxic person is going to be abusive. So I think one of the things too that could be a concern raised as to why I'm even talking about this is because I've encountered several toxic people in my lifetime, and I'm not just talking about just lightly, like, these people are mean or they're just grumpy. I mean, like, they literally work diligently to try to drag you down or to try to pull you down or to pull me down. But the event for this podcast today was a friend of mine who was actually, and I don't care if this person knows, truthfully, I don't think that they would even listen to a podcast that has to do with help because they don't want help themselves, so who really cares? But this person was an ex of mine, and I won't go into all the details from a long time ago. And basically, this person's been the same for the past 8 to 10 years. But they've tried to make changes, like got a decent job, working, but always would make little comments, like very off-kilter comments. Like when we were dating, they had mommy issues and they didn't come from the most loving of homes. So that, you know, that was fine. Everyone doesn't come from a perfect home. I don't come from a perfect home. And I think that is okay to be wounded. However, I'm not the type of person that says, let these scars define 100% who you are. Like, you have to remember, you can be a certain way and raised in a certain environment, but that does not have to 100% define who you are. At some point, whatever burdens or baggage or problems that you're having that you feel are holding you back, you need to lay them aside, because if you don't, they're going to continue to hold you back. Or you're just going to have to get a back brace, because you're going to have to get comfortable carrying around all that BS that you've been carrying around this whole time. So for me, you know, this person constantly would talk about how their family held them back and they couldn't do this. And I didn't understand, because I had the best family in the world, which I was raised in a single parent home. My father was in and out of prison. My mother and my father were in a domestic abuse relationship. So, I mean, I'm kind of feeling like, you know, okay, I have a perfect family, right? But you had a mom that was there. She just wasn't the most reliable of moms. And your dad was an absentee dad. But like, let's take a number, right? Because a lot of people come from single family homes. A lot of people come from homes where they do have an absentee parent. A lot of people, you know, in single parent homes doesn't necessarily always mean you have an absentee parent. It just means like you were raised predominantly. You could go see your dad, you know, once a month, okay? But you're living with your mom primarily. But my thing is, you know, that is something that's terrible, right? That you grew up this way, but go ahead and move forward. So this person would say that, you know, their family's holding them back, they can't do anything in their life and blah, 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 blah. Now that's not the problem. The problem is, fast forward 10 years later, you're still saying the same thing. Now, mind you, all of the family is out of the picture. Either they've moved on in different ways or they've gone into live with other family members. So now it's just you. And for the past 2 years, it's just been you. So explain to me how your family is still holding you back. Like, how that's the primary excuse for you not being able to achieve your goals. That also was not really what made this individual completely toxic. No, what made this person toxic was the constant need to demean me or to say very, very interesting comments to me about my life. And I mean, just telling me that I have it easy because I'm a woman. You know, my life is just peaches and cream, just sorts of things that are just like out of control. But I'll tell you the latest episode. So this person was always like this, hella inconsistent, couldn't hold anything, you know, just not all the signs of really manipulative, trying really to kind of get me to feel bad about myself so that they felt better about themselves over the course of time. And again, I'm not going to tell everything that this person said because I think it's just stupid. But I will say that the last time that we talked, this person was under the impression that they were going to come to Charlotte and they were going to, they said, oh, you know what, this is the exact verbiage here, and you can tell me if this is like an offer that you would love in your life. They were like, oh, You know, I'm not getting any younger, so we might as well just go ahead and get married, and I'll just come to where you are, and that's it. And since you want a family, eventually, I guess that's what we need to do. So, you know, I'm about to be down there in a few months. And I was like, well, that's kind of not how that works, right? Because you can't just call off and say, yeah, okay, we ain't getting no younger. You know, this ain't Jagged Edge, okay? Like, let's get married. I mean, even still, he had a better proposition than like, yeah, okay, this is what you want, so like, let's do this. You know, he's like, oh, and I should just, and then at least one of us will be happy because one of us will get what they want. That was his exact verbiage. So, you know, naturally I'm like, okay, yeah, sir, you know, let's be friends first, because I felt like this person was the same person they had always been. And there was no changes. They were still kind of manipulative, would tell me things about myself that I'm, you know, this black woman who walks around with privilege I don't understand. As a black woman, I'm automatically everyone's favorite. And I mean, if you're a black woman listening to this right now, I'm sure you could definitely get a chuckle, because black women are nobody's favorite. But okay, sure, go off, King. So from there, he also proceeded to tell me that, you know, he wanted to like live with me. And then he started to flip out about school and work and education and a job, these sorts of things. But then they also became my responsibility. So I was supposed to look up jobs for him, and I was supposed to send it to him. And I was like, send him the links, not just, you know, this place is hiring, but send him the actual links of things so that he could just one click and then put his information in if he had time. So then also too, and this is over the course of several months, because I talking is completely inconsistent. So then also too, I was supposed to be responsible for figuring out civil service exams and things of the sorts of that. Now, mind you, I did say to him, you know, we're definitely not going to be together. If anything, we could be friends when you came down here. And I offered to help. I said, you know, whatever I can do to help you within reason, I will help you. So then he told me that I didn't understand how his life was because I went to college and I have a degree, so I can't relate to him. As a black woman, I am privileged and I have my education. Oh, also too, wait, I can actually read to you all the things that this person said to me on Instagram, because this is the last time that we talked, because the solution to toxic people is to cut them out of your life. So he basically became upset when I just had told him like I had met somebody, okay? And it just went from 0 to 100. But the problem is, again, not really saying I met someone and you being kind of frustrated about that. I mean, I guess that is kind of weird, right? That you're frustrated that I met someone when I haven't heard from you. You're completely inconsistent. You just automatically think you're gonna come down here. This is gonna be like 90 day fiance. But what came afterwards was the problem. So he told me that, you know, he's been going through all these things and I ain't do anything to help him. He's not a girl, so therefore he won't chit chat with his problems. If he dies or cries, society won't care. But if something happens to me, I can get $30,000 for gorilla gluing my hair. He said that I haven't been doing anything with my life. He told me that I was a loser. I would never be anything with my life. Where I am right now is where I'm gonna stay. He said that I've been just dating around and I haven't been doing anything professionally, because I'm going on Tinder dates all week and I really wouldn't have to pay for a meal at all because I'm dating all the time. Now, if anyone knows about online dating and if anyone's ever been on Tinder, obviously this dude is stupid as hell, because you would know that as a woman on Tinder, there's no way you're getting these dudes to pay for your meals without, at this time, maybe before when Tinder was first started, but at this time in the pandemic, these dudes is out here looking just to clap cheeks. End of discussion, straight up, keep it 100. Who do you think is gonna be paying for your meals all week long with the prospect, different guys every night? And also, it takes time to get to know people. I can't just throw myself out here. So he says, yes, you know, all black women are the same. You know, they're privileged, and everyone loves black women. So you don't understand the struggles that a black man they're going through. He said, you're rushing your life. The person, whoever I'm talking to, is going to be gone in 4 months, struggling. And all you wanted to do was just for me to try to trap him. I'm Googling facts about relationships and how things should be. From there, he proceeded to tell me that I was emotional And he said that also that he wasn't being a hater. He was just telling me how it is. Then he told me that I was the one rushing him to come to NC to marry him, which again, the proposition was brought up by him. And then he said that he didn't want me to call him when it backfired in 4 months. And he said, I was just talk about everything. And also he wanted me to, and I quote, let him get a heads up when his stimulus hit because he was trying to come down here and just have sex. So I think that that's a pretty good example of a toxic relationship of things. That was just a friendship. But the thing is that he would always do things initially very slightly and say these comments. We always had this issue about race and how he felt like literally Black women have everything handed to them on a silver platter, which again is laughable at best. He always talked about how I was overprivileged and all that stuff. So that was an issue. But toxic people, again, every time I talked to him, I would feel like I was being drained, or I was always on the defensive because everything that was happening was my fault. Somehow, I was responsible for his successes and failures. His family was responsible. And I was responsible because I was an educated Black woman. And therefore, since I'm not elevating him as a Black man, I'm not, I'm being selfish, was what I was told several times. So those are examples of relationships. Obviously, I did not expect for that person to go so left-sided, which is why I had just wanted to talk about toxic relationships, because not just him, but a lot of people, especially since 2020 was a rough year for everybody, you're still talking to people who are making you feel this way, making you feel bad, making you feel, frustrated, blaming you for everything, being manipulative. You're still investing in these people. And it's like almost like, why? You know what I mean? There's no need to do this sort of stuff because mentally it's draining. And yes, I did block this person. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm never talking to this person again in the rest of my life. I almost said a bad word. I'm not talking to this dude ever again in my life. I don't care what he says. Some friends that I talk to believe that this individual has a mental illness. And again, a mental illness will definitely make a toxic person very easy. It's like mental illness is like an easy bake oven for toxic people. And then the people who blame their mental illness on everything are also perpetuating to the cycle. They're just sprinkling on the toxicity. But I think that, when I cut him out of my life, it hurt me because I still was invested in the friendship, right? I didn't care about the relationship. We weren't intimate in any way, shape, or form for years. But the point was, I kept thinking, if I try my best to help this person, if I keep pouring into them, then maybe they'll change, maybe they'll see, maybe they'll grow, maybe they'll whatever. This was as a friend on a friendship level. I never promised this dude anything at all. He just thought he was gonna come down here, we're gonna get married, that's it, and then I'm supposed to find him a job and he's gonna be, doing this, and he told me he was gonna sell his car, so then he didn't know how he was gonna get around and I was gonna have to try to figure that out. You know what I mean? So like, that's just a lot to take in. But like, it goes to show you that whether it's 10 days, 10 months, or 10 years, if a person is toxic like that, they sometimes won't change. And you do have to make a decision about what you're going to do with this person in your life. So sometimes you can set stricter boundaries with people, right? How do you deal with them? Set stricter boundaries. You can try. Also too, you can confront them. Obviously, I literally said one thing. So be ready for a backlash if you're confronting this person, because they've probably never been confronted before about this behavior. Or if they did, they have their like automatic apology ready in their mind. And then also be ready for them to go back to the exact same person they still were. And if they do that, they need to cut them out of your life. And that's the most important thing. Like, yes, you'll mourn the loss of a relationship, like the loss of a friendship. You know what I mean? And coworkers really should be easy. Like, you ain't got to talk to these people. Like, if I'm here to work and make my money, we ain't got to be best friends. If I realize that you're a loser and you're toxic like that, like pulling people down all the time, there's almost no need for me to really exert my energy to do that, because I'm here to get paid. I'm not here to be best friends with you. So from there, what really does like the Bible say about toxic people? If you're looking at Proverbs 14:7, it says, stay away from a fool. You will not find knowledge on their lips. Okay. So like, that's pretty clear cut and dry. And also too, another verse about like toxic people is 1 Corinthians 15 through 33. So it says, do not be misled. bad company corrupts good character. And you know, if we have to break that down any further, it really just means that these relationships will affect you. Whether or not you feel like they are, whether or not you're like, I'm strong, they still will affect you. And oftentimes too, not only are they draining, but you could become like the company that you're keeping. So I think that that's a very important thing, is to either confront the person and I think reassess the relationship. That leads me to my double E moment, so we can be done. It leads them to reevaluate. The double E moment is to reevaluate your relationships. If you do have someone that's toxic in your life, you need to reassess. Who are they, right? If they're your family, you know, you can't choose them. And some family members you do have to cut off. If they're your friends, some people you got to cut off. If they're your coworkers, change the way that you interact with them. Nobody cares. If you're in a relationship with them, you really kind of need to work on it. And it kind of depends on how deeply you're invested. If you guys literally just started talking, it's probably not even worth the headache to try to confront them and change them. But I mean, it's always worth it. I think everyone's always worth a shot. This individual definitely will not be getting any more shots, because for the past 10 years in different ways as friends, or when we were dating and then we weren't dating, I really tried to be there. And I was very confused as to why this dude would go 0 to 100 mad quick, when literally when he had no one, I was there. But that's just because he's just toxic like that. Like, he enjoyed blaming me, putting me down, because it made him feel better and elevated, and it made him feel good when he got off the phone to know that he had kind of hurt my feelings in a way, making me feel stupid or less than. And I mean, I don't need anyone to do that, because society already does that to me as a Black woman. Makes me feel stupid and less than, all the way from my job at the hospital to when I'm in the damn supermarket. I don't need anyone else to make me feel stupid, because America does a great job of that already, making Black women look stupid. So from there, that's your double E moment. Now, I know that that was a lot. I'm sorry that I even included that story in there, but some people need an actual idea of what is toxic. And the whole point of the podcast is to show you that I'm over here going through stuff in the same way I'm trying to grow and learn and be good and be better, is the same way that you should try to better yourself. Because what's the point really in living if you aren't going to try to help somebody else? And what's the point in living if you aren't trying to be the best version of yourself? Especially after 2020, we really need to be trying to live our best life, like, period. So as usual, you can follow me on Instagram, ELE_AUG. And you can also write me at Readers Crack, readerscrack, readers, your reading, multiple readers, crack, the drug, @gmail.com. I'll be talking about a different topic every other week. If you have something that you want me to talk about, DM me, or you could also email me. So, as usual, be beautiful, be blessed, and cut any trash out of your life. You guys have a beautiful morning. Thanks for listening.